Love comedy. Love BBC 7.
And we've got a pretty glorious half hour of our own now in another vintage edition of the show in which an emotional Bob Monkhouse explains when it's not a good idea to be a nudist, and Clement's got a bit of bother with his buzzer.
We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo and Bob Monkhouse in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome as our guest against our three regulars this week, Bob Monkhouse. Will try and fit his wits and his verbal dexterity and ingenuity and all the other things you'll require in just a minute against our regulars, and they will all try and talk for just a minute if they can on the subject that I will give them, and try and do it without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. We begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo, and the subject is getting sent. A thing that happens to me regularly in just a minute. But Derek, would you talk on the subject for 60 seconds if you can, starting now?
Fracas, Chanel No. 5, Miss Dior, Margriff, Gucci, Madame Rocca, Evening in Paris. These are some of the lovely scents that one can buy in shops today. But if you go to the Village of Grass outside Cannes, you will go to the lovely fields filled with flowers.
Bob Monkhouse is challenged.
This is one of the most exciting moments of my life. To be on Just a Minute and to challenge, I can't believe I've done it.
Would you like a glass of water?
Thank you, I would very much. I do believe Mr. Nimmo said go twice.
He did. He did say go twice. Bond, you're overcome with amazement at your success so rapidly as our guest for the very first time, and you've got the first point. And you take over the subject, because you have a correct challenge, and you have 44 seconds left, getting sent, starting now.
My agent is always making sure that I am getting sent. He got me sent here to this studio tonight, and heaven knows how I...
Kenneth Williams,
yes, and that is completely untrue. I know Bob Monkhouse. We are never going anywhere anyone else's bequest. He does it because he wants to do it. Nobody holds him around. Nobody holds him around. That's all rubbish. I've known him for years. And he doesn't go around at somebody else's behest.
Well, how do you know that maybe it was at someone else's behest? Maybe.
Go on, answer. Tell the truth. Go on, is it the truth? Can you really tell the truth?
Just do you all tell the truth in just a minute?
Oh, well, I'm different.
No, Bob, you can keep going in any way you like as long as you don't deviate from the subject, and you weren't doing that, so that's a wrong challenge, and you have another point, and you have 36 seconds on getting sent, starting now.
Getting sent up the motorways, or getting sent up in anywhere, is not...
One of the most exciting moments he's ever had is packing up for the first time.
Yes, Derek, a correct challenge, a point for that. 32 seconds are left on getting sent, starting
now. Some people in this life rarely enjoy being sent up, and Nicholas Parsons is one of them. And call them Large Bernard and the Major Charlie, and he beams with laughter at the start because he's a sadomasochist. That's why he enjoys being sent up, and we must all the time handle this curious quirk within the park and we see over there, because he really does like to be sent up. That is the end of the story. Ladies and gentlemen, good night.
And nobody challenged to find out whether it was true or not. Because I would have told them that I don't enjoy it. But as a chairman, I have to try. And to care. And to be good-natured. It's a difficult job. Derek Nimmo, you kept going in the most rotten, revolting way. until the whistle went, which tells us that 60 seconds is up. You gain an extra point for doing so, and you're equal with Bob Monkhouse in the lead at the end of that round. And Bob Monkhouse will begin the next round, and the subject is My Happiest Holiday. Bob, will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My happiest holiday was spent at a nudist camp, because I approve of nudism, except, of course, on flag days. I believe that there's nothing to be ashamed of in the human body, or in mine either, for that matter. And so I like naturist colonies where men and women can go to air their differences, and where I was, naked as nature intended, in the wild woods, frolicking with my friends, the bunnies, and throwing stones at my enemies, the hedgehogs, and avoiding the squirrels because they were hoarding nuts for the winter. Everybody would have their happiest holiday if we all ripped off our clothing here in the studio and got at it, and that's it.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Repetition of nudity.
For those of you who are not in the studio audience, I should explain that Bob Monkhouse's impassioned plea then had such effect on all of the panellists, particularly the chairman, that we all started to strip. We were saved from getting down to the bare scud by Derek Nimmer's challenge, and it was for the repetition of nudity. He's absolutely correct. He saved a lot of people in the audience from acute embarrassment. But nudity on radio, I think, is something to be encouraged. And there are 6 seconds for Derek Nimmer to take over My Happiest Holiday. That was the subject, not nudity. Starting now.
My happiest holiday was spent at Prest Atten in North Wales, and I used to go paddling every morning to get a mushroom.
At the end of that round, Derek Nimmer was speaking as a whistle went, so he gained the extra point, and he is now in the lead ahead of Bob Monkhouse. In fact, they're the only two to score so far. Clement Freud begins the next round, and it is the subject, Advice to a 21-year-old Girl. Do 21-year-olds still need advice? Anyway, Clement, would you take the subject and try and keep going for 60 seconds, starting now?
I suppose my advice to a 21-year-old girl would be to say, by now, you've probably taught your parents about the birds and the bees. They do it roughly the same way that your father and mother did it. And anything I tell you will be too late. So why don't you go out and enjoy yourself and try to avoid philological euphemism. I loathe people who look at me and say things like, you have lost a lot of hair, when they mean you are bald. Or seeing a drunk lying in the gutter. They say, the poor fellow has a weight problem or a drink problem.
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Too many problems.
There are too many problems. Derek Nimmer, you take over the subject. There are 20 seconds left. Advice to a 21-year-old girl starting now.
I think the advice I would give to any 21-year-old girl is to see here.
Kenneth Williams, challenge.
Yes, I didn't hear what he was talking about. I thought a goyle, or gargoyle, or goyle. Quite prediction.
Kenneth, there are 16 seconds left for you to talk on the subject of advice to a 21-year-old girl starting now.
It has already been set down by one of our greatest writers. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, and this above all, to thine own self.
Bob Monkhouse, are challenged.
I've been listening to this show for 13 years, and that's repetition. He always goes on like that.
Bob, he does, but he wasn't repeating the subject on the card, which is repetition, not repeating his style, his phraseology, or his monotony. So, it's an incorrect challenge.
That's lovely, isn't it? Charming, isn't it?
Nicky,
how you've been treated, you see?
Proud to have given
up your ego around your ankles.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Supposed to be a friend.
Kenneth.
Charlotte Bronte said, with friends like that, you don't need enemies.
Kenneth. You don't need any encouragement. As people have said of you, you are actually becoming a cult in your own time.
That is true. I am a cult, an enormous cult. People have said that to me. You are a cult. You are, I'm one of the biggest cults around. It's true. You're quite right. Quite right. Yeah, it's very precipient of you to say that, Nick. Very precipient of him, isn't it?
So I've now built up your ego again.
That has done that. That trick beautiful, yes.
And you have half a second to continue on advice to a 21-year-old girl starting now.
And if it's one of the right men,
Kenneth Williams speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he has a number as well in that round, so he's now in second place behind Derek Nimmo, and he also begins the next round. The subject is My Faults. Now, it's a difficult subject, Kenneth, because I know you believe you haven't any, but would you try and talk on the subject for 60 seconds starting now?
My faults can be listed as follows. One, I err very, very badly on the side.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of very.
Yes.
They're all booing. You heard the booing.
I know, I heard.
They don't agree with the challenge at all. It's a disgrace, isn't it? Absolutely disgrace.
Well, it was accurate, you see.
Oh, I see.
And I'm afraid that though we're usually more generous and allow the contestant to keep going for a few moments,
no,
Clement
keep
didn't.
Going.
And there are 55 seconds. Clement takes over the subject of My Faults starting now.
Such faults as I have do not include hesitation, repetition, or deviation from the subject which I'm given in just a minute. But sitting next to Kenneth Williams does tend to bring out the worst in me. My shoes become undone, my socks crumple, my tie is crushed at the sheer joy of sitting next to one of the great cult figures.
Next. Yes, sitting next. 32 seconds, Derek, for you on My Faults, starting now.
I suppose if I have a fault, and I must admit to several, one of them is that I am sometimes overtly rude.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, Clement, you have 25 seconds on My Faults, starting now.
Niggardliness. My thing is done.
For the sake of our listeners, I must explain the extra laugh came because as he was challenged, Clement Freud's buzzer came to pieces in his hand. He's now trying to put it together, and I think we'll continue with the show. No, an engineer's coming to help Clement Freud. No, but it doesn't matter. He's going to be working all through the series.
I think it's a 21-year-old girl wanting some advice.
Bob Monkhouse, your challenge, hesitation, well done. You take over the subject, and there are 23 seconds on My Faults starting now.
My faults are so despicable, vile, low, that only...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. The root is despite, therefore it's pronounced despicable. No, you don't accent the I.
You can pronounce it any way you like in just a minute. Some of your pronunciations are
on the contrary, the authority for this is Farragher in modern English usage, and he makes the point that this is a common error, and people should be, as Bernard Shaw rightly said, enlightened about it.
Well, you've enlightened them, and now let's continue with Bob Monkhouse pronouncing anything any way he wishes in exactly the same way that you do, and he has 19 seconds to continue on My Faults, Bob, starting now.
I used to sellotape breadcrumbs to the windowsill and laugh.
Derek Nimmo, chap.
In Fowler's modern usage, should be seen. Tape.
Bonus point to Derek Nimmo for a very good challenge. No one gets the penalties charged.
I can't even speak properly. A joke.
You keep the subject, Bob, and there are 16 seconds left. My faults, starting now.
I once sent a calendar to a convict who was serving a life sentence. How low can you get? And as a child, I was equally wicked. But can anyone among you say that you are without faults? I ask you this in all sincerity.
So Bob Monkhouse kept going to the whistle when gained an extra point and others in the round, so he's now back in second place, only one behind our leader, Derek Nimmo, and Derek begins the next round. The subject is Everest. Derek, will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Sir George Everest, who was Surveyor General of India in the 19th century, had this great mountain named after him. And I remember full well the excitement some 26 years ago. I was standing in the Mall waiting for a match of the Queen to process down it when one heard that Everest had been climbed. Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing were the first ones to the top. And one read about it in the newspapers that same day.
Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, it was in the newspapers before he went to the Mall to see the coronation. Yes, we all did. It was announced at midnight.
I was there all night. Very cold and chilly and nasty.
Yes, I
and
know.
And everything that came on. Yes, that was the news of Everest.
Yes,
wonderful.
Well, I agree with that, Derek, so you keep it. You have a point for a wrong challenge. 32 seconds are left, starting now.
Now, somehow, all the dangers go out of climbing Everest because you can go to a Holiday Inn in Nepal and you can look across and there you can see this great gleaming silvery peak. Somehow, the mystery, the excitement, the tension, the danger, and all the daring have disappeared. That's what we want more of in this country today. The challenge, the great mountains that need to be scaled and flags to be planted on the top, Union Jacks fluttering in the mountain air. That is what this wonderful sceptred isle, which we love so dearly, and Her Majesty the Queen reigns over us all. And I'll talk about her before she has that time to be like. And then.
So, Derek, you deeply impressed everybody. You kept going till the whistle went, gained an extra point and increased your lead. And now we move to Bob Monkhouse. Bob, your turn to start. The subject, pitfalls for a program chairman. Having been one yourself many times, you can maybe tell us something in just a minute about it, starting now.
I am amazed that the subject of pitfalls for a program chairman has been raised in public on this program, as I understood that the pitfall that we were digging for our program chairman was to be kept a secret from him outside in Regent Street. However, as I have been chairman of programs like The Golden Shot and Celebrity Squares, and welcomed, may I say, the...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
There can't be other programs like Silicon. The man can only take so much.
Yes, well, they've taken a great deal of that and enjoyed it, but your challenge was much appreciated. So let me give you a bonus for that, Clement, and leave the subject with Bob Monkhouse with 40 seconds left. Pitfalls for a program chairman, starting now.
People used to say to me, one of the pitfalls must be that you have to provide these marvellous prizes. How can you afford it? And I would reply that we had a system. We used to go to the Sale of the Century studio and mug the winners as they came out.
And you haven't lived until...
The Nemo challenge. Repetition one by one.
Yes, rotten challenge.
Why did a rotten challenge?
It says it with repetition.
Don't bang the table. The trick with the engineer can't stand it. Who's that banging the table? And they can't stand it. They go, man,
that's a rotten way to treat a guest. So, but it is a correct challenge. So, Derek, you take over the subject with 33 seconds left. Sorry, 28 seconds. Pitfalls for a program chairman, starting now.
The pitfall I'd like to provide for this special program chairman is in the Rhondda Valley. I'm going to find a very deep mine shaft. And I dangle Nicholas Parsons over the edge of it on a long rope and drop him. But at the bottom, of course, I would put cushions and mattresses and have bottles of champagne awaiting him, because we do love him very much. He's a national institution, I tell you, Rabbit.
It's never for a challenge.
Deviation. He doesn't love him remotely.
Well, I can't judge whether Derek Nimmo loves me or not. Yeah, they wouldn't think we were friends, would they? There were 8 seconds left for pitfalls for a program chairman, starting now.
There wouldn't have to be very many pitfalls for Nicholas Parsons to fall into, and as chairman of Just a Minute, he has given pretty good notice.
So, Colonel Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, but he's still in third place behind our guest, Bob Monkhouse, and they're both a little way behind our leader, Derek Nimmo. Kenneth's just in fourth place, and Clement begins the next round, which is drafts. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, Clement, starting now?
Drafts are the sort of things that happen pretty frequently in a BBC studio when people leave, as they do in this programme, and remain...
Challenge. Hesitation is right. 50 seconds on drafts with you, Derek, starting now.
Drafts can mean money orders, and drafts Allgate pump as a way of expressing that something is completely worthless because another meaning for the word draft is liquid.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of meaning.
Yes.
Clement, you take the subject back. You have 38 and a half seconds on drafts, starting now.
Drafts is a game which you play on a board, such as you would practice chess upon. It's really very much more skillful than people think. It contains a number of pieces, both black and white, and you move them from your side to the other, whence the piece...
Nemo
floundering, floundering. He's
floundering, yes. Derek, 20 seconds. Drafts, starting now.
Sometimes if you say he's fearing the draft, it means he's fallen on rather hard times. Things are not going terribly well. Out of luck. Bad fortune has come across the poor chap at your...
Yes, I think so, Kenneth. So you take the subject now of drafts with 10 seconds to go, starting now.
These are caused by ill-fitting windows and doors. And what you must do is to get a nice bit of felt, preferably done out in strips.
So Kenneth Williams kept going for the whistle went. He's got another point for doing so, and he's still in fourth place. But he's only one behind Clement Freud. There's only two behind Bob Monkhouse, but they're all quite a way behind Derek Nimmo. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Bloomsbury. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Many a time and oft have I trod those affectionate pavements, and I mean it. They've loved me just as much as I have in turn given great deal of warmth and love to them.
Bob Monkhouse is challenged.
I fear there's too much love coming from Mr. Williams.
Yes.
Double love, in fact.
Yes.
Love.
46 seconds for you, Bob, on the subject of blue.
No, I said loved them, and they've given love to me. So I loved and not loved. So I didn't repeat it. That's right. Thank goodness I didn't.
It took him a long time to work that one out, and there are 46 seconds left, starting now.
In Gordon Square there was born that wonderful creature, Virginia Woolf, who married Leonard. And we think of the guests, people like Maynard Keynes, Otline Morell, Lytton Strachey, all of whom enhanced the literary scene of their day and left us a heritage of which we have every right to be very proud indeed. As that wonderful woman said, Vanessa Bell, when a diamond falls from the sky, let us not with ill grace receive it.
So,
Kenneth, does that put me in the lead? Am I the lead?
No, I'm afraid.
Does that put me up again?
You pulled you up considerably, yes. You got more points.
How far up?
One, little Clement Freud. But only one behind Bob Monkhouse, but a few behind Derek Nimmo, our leader. Derek, your turn to begin the subject, Dog Days. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Dog Days apply to the warmest days of the year and are in July. It's an old Roman term, in fact, because they thought that when the dog star rose at the same time as the sun, this increased the intensity of heat, and therefore the expression dog days was born. Now, we all know that in an English clime, it's not always certain that heat or warmth will come during the dog days. But if you are outside Rome or Venice, Naples, then you can enjoy dog days, as sure and as certainly as the months come round every year.
Bob Monkhouse challenged.
I think we had 2 years of that.
Yes, I'm afraid we did, Derek, so that's a good challenge from Bob there. 19 seconds, Bob Monkhouse, on dog days, starting now.
I have enjoyed dog days in such obvious places as Barking and the Peak District and at White City, where a dog once winked at me and said, I am going to win the next race.
Kenneth Williams, son.
Deviation. I don't believe dogs talk to robots.
Yes, but,
that... No but about it, you silly great fool. No but. Targeting that.
If Bob Monkhouse is a comedian and he can tell a story about a dog talking to me, he's not deviating from Dog Days, so he keeps the subject. And there are 5 seconds, Bob, for Dog Days starting now.
We all make mistakes. That's why they put rubbers on the end of pencils. And I, therefore, went and placed a good bet.
Bob Monkhouse, our guest, who's never played Just a Minute before, not only got the point for speaking as the whistle went, but gained a number of points in that round. And he has moved forward rapidly. He's now only one behind our leader, Derek Nimmo. And it's also his turn to begin. And the subject is the one-line gag. Bob, you know a lot about that. Tell us something about it in Just a Minute, starting now.
Low necks, are they on the way out? And never tell secrets to a peacock. You know how they spread tails. Reincarnation is a considerable surprise. Venus flytrap. Do they eat the front of your trousers? It is one-line gags like these that have held back what was once a promising career. But on my way to the studios, I invariably call in at the zoo and tell my one-line gags to the hyena, which gives me a great deal of confidence. But I also have to spend money on these one-line gags because I pay a schoolboy to translate them from the original Latin. Please don't laugh at these. There are people around the front who are trying to sleep. A typical one-line joke would be the one about the female hippopotamus who is pregnant for 16 months, so there'll be no hurry with the knitting. Another one is the one about the Arab who...
challenged.
Repetition of one. Another one.
There was a lot of ones, but what a pity.
One-line gag.
It's on the card. He's allowed to use the word one because it's on the card. So there we are. He can keep going with another point. And he's caught you up, Derek Nimmo. There are 16 seconds on the one-line gag with you, Bob, starting now.
Is Karl Marx's grave a communist plot? Always try to be yourself, because if you are not, someone else will be. Does unabridged mean a river that you have to wade across? These are other one-line jokes, which certainly should not be extended.
Derek Nimmo, chant.
Repetition of jokes.
You did talk about the word jokes before. So he's got in, Derek did, with half a second to go. Yes, I don't have got any more time. And so with half a second to go on one-line gags, starting now.
The unluckiest man.
So I think at the end of that round, if we have no more time, a special round of applause for Bob Monkhouse, because to keep going on one-line gags and demonstrate them as well as talk about them required a great deal of ingenuity and verbal dexterity. And now, to give you the final score, Clement Freud, for once, finished in fourth place, just behind Kenneth Williams. Kenneth was a number of points behind Bob Monkhouse, our guest, who almost won, but not quite at the last post. He was pipped by this week's winner, Derek Nimmo. We hope that you have enjoyed Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week, but once again we take the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.
Not often that Clement finishes last. Still, he did have some stiff competition today, didn't he? That show was first broadcast back in March 1980, and there'll be more Just a Minute next Thursday at 12:30, when Peter Jones makes another appearance on the show.